The Spectator magazine combines incisive political analysis with books and arts reviews of unrivaled authority. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online, plus a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by Fraser Nelson and Katie Pauls. So as we look forward to next Monday's announcement from Boris Johnson on what it will take to ease lockdown, we're finding out a little bit more about mass testing and what that will look like in this coming summer. Katie, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but we're finding a bit more about it out today.
Yes, we've heard from ministers earlier in the week this idea that mass testing or lateral flow tests would be used to allow people to do things like go to the theatre. Some of the, as the Prime Minister put it, the toughest nuts to crack in the last lockdown easing. But what has been reported today, and it seems to be confirmed by the government, is this idea that actually in the build-up to easing lockdown, they'll be sending out lots of lateral flow tests, mass tests, to various areas, but also to workplaces, medium, large workplaces. And I think this is just to start trying to use testing and mass testing as a way to keep track of the level of infection, which points to a few things. Firstly, the fact that the government is still very worried about cases. We've heard that from Boris Johnson a few times. So even though we are picking up pace with the vaccination programme, the music coming from the Prime Minister seems to be one that there has to not be a huge spike in cases, whereas some Tory MPs take the view that once you've protected hospitalisations and deaths and the people who lead to that, you wouldn't need to focus on cases as much. So there's some trying to keep track of it. Some of it is during the easing. And then secondly, I think it just flags the issue previously with mass testing and things like Operation Moonshot is the fact that rapid testing gets mixed results. So when you look at what will be approved by the regulator in the UK, there has in the past been criticism or questions over how reliable it is. So is that hurdle now going to be cleared?
Yes, Fraser, in Liverpool, when this mass testing was rolled out, it only caught 2/3 of the most infectious cases. Relying on this probably not so reliable test to be opening up, is that a good idea?
Well, this is the big controversy. When the lateral flow tests were first tested in Porton Down, they got pretty good results, almost as good as PCR tests. But then the British Medical Journal started to compare the PCR tests with lateral flow in Liverpool and found some pretty shocking disparities. I mean, some of the tests showed that they were missing every second COVID test case which they did. Now, obviously, that makes them not fit for purpose, because if they give the green light to half of the COVID cases that go through, then you need to worry. Of course, the government said, well, that's not necessarily the case, and they will pick up the serious cases, not the mild ones. But even then, you ended up with a government that spent a lot of money on these lateral flow tests. There are warehouses and warehouses full of these things in England somewhere. And for a long time now, we've been hearing about this other moonshot where you will get Amazon or somebody to post them all out on them perhaps 3 times a week. So you would do a test every day before going into work. Incredibly expensive. But this would fulfill Boris Johnson's idea of a pregnancy test that you would take all of the time. But what we haven't had explained to us is this, that right now you've got about 40-45% immunity to COVID in this country. That's according to the Bristol University PCCR project. And if all goes well, we should be up to herd immunity reasonably soon if you look at the vaccine rollout. Now, originally the strategy was to hit herd immunity, 60, 70, perhaps 80% of the population. Because once you've done that, the argument was, then the coronavirus just simply can't take off. It will run into the ground and it runs out of people to infect. And then the other point about vaccinations was that they would rob COVID of its lethal capability. So when you look at the infection fatality rate, those likely to die from an infection, that would fall right down to below other viruses that we live with. It's not entirely clear why, if we were to reach herd immunity, we should still be proceeding with a test and trace and lateral flow, nor is it clear why, if you actually do have hospital cases low, we should still be disrupting our society so much to stop people getting infected with a disease that they're probably not going to be seriously ill with, not if they've been vaccinated. Now, I'm sure the government has got somewhere a plan showing how all these things go together, but it's not a plan that's been teased out by the opposition or from these press conferences where journalists get like one question to ask. So it's all a bit of a mystery, really. It's like having pieces of a jigsaw thrown out at random. We're trying to work out what the picture is here. Where do these lateral flow tests fit into a future which we're told that we're going to have all over 50s vaccinated perhaps by the end of next month, and all adults perhaps vaccinated soon afterwards? Mm-hmm. Would there be a future for lateral flow tests in that system? We still don't really know.
Katie, these are all really valid questions. As Fraser says, the Labour is not talking about them. Our Tory backbenchers are doing a better job of scrutinising the government at the moment.
To a degree, I think that one of the issues you have, however, in terms of the build-up to Monday's roadmap announcement is there are some Tory MPs who, since Boris Johnson, start talking more about cases, and there seems to be a shift in Downing Street where, rather than just talking about overwhelming the NHS, they're talking about transmission and the idea that has been pushed by scientific advisers, this idea, not zero COVID, but low levels of COVID needed because you could have variants and things like that. So you have had some Tory MPs cite this and say this is moving the goalposts. Steve Baker, lead members of the COVID recovery group. But I think that because that group have almost started to be seen as the hardline portion of the Tory party on this and have been quite critical of lockdown throughout, they almost don't make such a splash as if others in the Tory party were saying it. But I don't think everyone's completely clocked on yet, because the government have not yet said they have a new strategy. And that's why I think when we have Monday's roadmap, we're expecting, yes, a vague timeline, very much trying to downplay expectations, but also potentially six tests on what the measures have to be in place to ease the lockdown. And I think at that point, if the government is explicitly clear and they say, look, we talked about overwhelming the NHS, now we're also saying cases have to be low XX amount. The Telegraph today had as its splash the idea that cases would need to be at 1,000 before you could do significant easing on socialising. Some kickback from government on that. But it does lead you to this, I think, this general sense that there is now more of a focus there. So I think if they are explicit about their change in strategy, I think you will see wider concern in the Tory party, because even though many Tory MPs have not been particularly vocal in the past few months, partly because the third lockdown was overwhelmingly backed actually by the parliamentary party this time, most of them still hold the view that the purpose of the vaccination programme is to protect the vulnerable, and they expect a pretty close to normal return by the summer. So if we suddenly have a strategy where you have to keep things suppressed and you have to have social distancing for a long period, even if parts of the economy open up, but for example, you have this 1 metre plus rule till the end of the year, things like that, I don't think that will get mainstream Tory party support. I don't think it will just be a small number of Tory MPs who disagree with that. I think it'll be quite widespread.
We'd probably get Labour voting for it, wouldn't you, Katie, in that circumstance? I mean, I'm struggling to think of the government actually being defeated.
I think you would get Labour backing it, but I think you then run up to this previous point, which is, does Boris Johnson want to continually have a policy which is not backed by the bulk of his Tory party? And I don't think that is sustainable for months and months on end. I think you can use it to get through a six-week measure, potentially. We have votes coming up in March, I think another in June, July, in terms of approving these. And I just don't think that when it comes to this vaccine bounce, it is what Number 10 will want to have themselves at loggerheads for their party. So we still need to see all the details. But I agree in the sense, I think Boris Johnson could get such plans through. Is it tenable for the Prime Minister to have a COVID policy that the bulk of his party disagree with? We're slightly talking in hypotheticals, but I would argue in the long term, no.
It's probably fair enough.
I think part of the problem is that the government's just fallen out of the habit of explaining itself to Parliament. These emergency measures mean that they can cook up anything they want, really, Number 10, and push it through. And so I know members of the government who haven't got the faintest idea what the strategy is now. So it's the communication problem is internal as well as external. And Graham Brady, the chair of the 1922 committee, was saying today that complaining that the goalposts keep moving. I wouldn't put it quite like that. I would say that the objectives keep changing. It's like one of these sort of strange video games where you move up to another level of difficulty. I mean, along comes the new variant. And then how are you supposed to cope with that? All of a sudden, closing the borders, hotel quarantine comes along and that interferes with your original vaccine rollout structure. And before you know it, you're having three sort of strategies at the same time. And I don't think they've yet worked out which one it is. The other thing is they want to keep their minds open. One of the options open, one of the things that Boris Johnson is now saying is, like, you can't hold me to my promises I made 7 weeks ago because so much has changed in 7 weeks. Now, 7 weeks ago was when he had the first lockdown. He said then the schools would come back after half term, that's on Monday, if infections would go down and the vaccination program would roll out. Well, both of those tests have been met, yet schools aren't back on Monday. Now, why not? Now he will probably say the new variant. I'm not quite sure what excuse he'd give. But they have just lost the habit of explaining themselves and people have stopped understanding.
I think that when I've spoken to some Tory MPs who are worried about the general direction and the fact there isn't much communication and I think the strategy has changed, some annoyance that, you know, Boris Johnson has been lost to the scientists, you know, that kind of sense. I've also spoken to Tory MPs who think that but are rather calm because they believe that ultimately it's not sustainable for Boris Johnson to have his party against him. The political space, once you move to the over 50s being vaccinated, is very small for the Prime Minister. And I think finally they believe the public mood will change. Though we don't know that. Every poll seems to say that people, you know, really support lockdown measures and so forth. But I do think that there is a confidence amongst this group, and they have sometimes got things wrong in the past, but there is a confidence that actually once you have reached the point that the over 50s are vaccinated, society is going to want to open up. People are not going to be worried about their parents or their grandparents catching COVID, and that is actually going to change things drastically. And therefore, in a way, I think the roadmap is almost coming too early for some of these people. They would rather we do the roadmap in a few weeks' time.
Why? Because they think it will change so
they
much.
Think the data will start to show. They think it's going to get better and better over the next few months, but they think the data in a couple of weeks' time is going to start making the arguments for them. And right now, actually, you're at this stage where it's almost too soon because you still have a relatively high number of deaths. You still need to see exactly how the vaccines are taking place. But as time goes on, even if the roadmap is too cautious, they think the government could be forced to change strategy.
It's interesting though, Katie, that they think the surprises will be on the upside of the data, that any surprises will be good ones.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, one of the things that I've been looking at, Cindy and RSL, our data project, we've got a whole bunch of graphs which are designed to show the vaccine effect when it comes in, that are all set looking at what's happening with the over 80s. These graphs are primed to demonstrate the infection level falling, the hospitalisation level falling, the death rate falling. None of them are showing any movement so far. And I find that a bit disappointing. I'm not saying the movement isn't going to happen. I'm just saying that if you want to demonstrate a vaccine effect, you've got pretty thin gruel right now. The most you can say is that the case fatality ratio, that is the proportion of people who catch COVID and then go on to die, that's been falling a little bit faster for the over 80s than other age groups, but not that much faster as a percentage. Now, I'm not saying that this gives us any reason to worry. It's just that it's not clear yet. And that, as the Israelis always pointed out, that until you actually do see these results, it's pretty silly to predict what's going to happen 2 weeks, 3 weeks in advance. There's lots of modelling. We've run it on the Spectator website suggesting that the number of hospital deaths will go down by 86% as a result of this vaccination. That's the group 1-4 vaccination, which is now finished. I'd love to see that happening. But so far, and we look at the data every day on the Spectator Data Hub, there's no sign of it happening yet.
Although, Fraser, speaking of Israel, obviously we had that research coming out over the weekend that showed that Pfizer cut symptomatic infections by 94%, that one research unit there found. So maybe that is coming down the line for us as well. And Katie, speaking of Israel, we're hearing something about a colour coding system coming in. Is that something that the UK government might be following as well?
Yeah, so when Fraser says that ministers often don't know their own strategy, I agree when you're calling around, there is confusion. But what you do keep hearing is look to Israel because that's what the government is doing. Ultimately, Israel are ahead of us in the vaccination program. Yes, they're using Pfizer, we're using Pfizer and Oxford. But there is a sense that that's where lessons can be learnt. So with that, I bring you the Green Badge Plan. And this is what Israel have launched, which is to reopen services to those fully inoculated. And it has stirred controversy about unequal access for those who opt out of the jab. So if you have had both your jabs, you can suddenly get yourself a green badge where you have rights to lots more things. I think that involves things like going to cultural events, gyms, hotels.
Also going to Greece. They've struck a deal with Greece whereby the green badge guys will be accepted into Greece, and Greece have got
the
this vaccine
land.
Passport thing. But interestingly, I think I'm right in saying in Israel, they also give you green badge status if you've had the virus. So it's not just that you've had the jab, For those who can prove immunity, they get this as well. Now, that's a big shift from Britain, where there's only really talk of giving approved status to those who have had the vaccine. Now, that's an interesting difference in approach. But it's rather depressing thinking, of course. I mean, the originally it was the Chinese who did this badge status. I mean, you know better than me, Cindy, but didn't they do this quite soon after Wuhan? They had red, green and amber.
Yeah, of course. I mean, China is now a pretty smartphone-heavy society, so it was quite easy for everyone just to download an app or an extension to an app for cities to then develop this colour code system for what you can do and can't do depending on where you've been. So your phone's tracking where you've been in the country. If you've been in somewhere high risk, you might be given amber or red. Mm-hmm. If you've got red, you have to self-isolate. If you've got amber, you can't go to cinema or something like that. And people check that kind of colour coding. Katie, is that what we're looking at for our summer?
I think on the question of whether it will come here and we have a green badge scheme, what we've seen is ultimately the fact that the government does look to Israel. However, we're also rather sheepish about the idea of immunity passports. So you've had repeated denials, yet it now looks as though I think we are getting immunity passports by the back door to a degree. So the government said they're not going to have an official scheme. They're not going to have something on gov.uk. But at the same time, they have not ruled out the idea that a business could ask for this. Your employer could want you to have the jab to come in. And even this idea of lateral flow tests, I think, as we've mentioned previously on this podcast, to get into a nightclub and so forth, that comes with, by doing that, you immediately accept the premise that your COVID status should allow or deny you entry into a building. And you can see why businesses say, oh, well, actually, if you've got the jab, you don't need to have this test. And therefore, I think that we could be heading to something like that. But I think in terms of a big scheme where you get a green badge, or it's described as that, no, we'll be rather more sheepish and the government want to have plausible deniability, even if it's not so plausible.
Fraser and Katie, thanks very much. And thanks for listening to this episode of Coffee House Shots, and join us again next time.